Hey guys.
Hi.
It's the Soft Spot.
We're back. I'm Meg.
I'm Julian.
And we're coming to you from our couch. And you're probably on your couch too. Because time is not even a thing anymore. Who cares what day it is? We don't even know. Nothing matters, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to sound so, like, negative.
I don't know. Do you want to keep that and keep going? Or do you want to...
I mean, it's not really negative. It's just kind of like, we're all floating, man. We're all sort of in this weird, like...
There is a numbness to it.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I'm sure I'd be seeing things totally differently if I were an essential worker. And oh my gosh, thank goodness for all of them. But, you know, our lives are sort of at a standstill. So it's kind of like, I don't know.
If somebody digs this episode up like 150 years from now, we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
That's why we're talking about this. Yeah, it's not like, we're not talking about our relationship.
Yeah. We're not just bored with life,
yeah.
You know?
We're not like goth.
Yeah.
Which is fine if you
but
are.
But we're not goth.
Oh, we are pro-goth.
Yeah.
We are very pro-goth on the Soft Spot.
But yeah, it's weird. It's weird times.
Well, the Soft Spot is intended to be an easy and fun hang, talking about the stuff that makes you feel good.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of it is nostalgic, and what better time to do it? So man, here we are again.
We're leaning hard into the feel-good stuff over here.
And a big, big comfort thing for us, for me at least,
Forever.
And I know a lot of people.
I mean, for a lot of people,
comfort food,
food, snacks, super processed shit.
Yeah, because
definitely not organic stuff.
Shopping has been altered.
Shopping is weird. Mm-hmm. We are in Los Angeles, and I have tried. I don't know. I want to say like 5 or 6. Major grocery stores,
mm-hmm.
and all of the healthy shit is gone.
Yeah,
all of the like organic soups or whatever, it's all gone, and it's all like, you know, beanies and weenies and SpaghettiOs. It's like all the Chef Boyardee you could ever dream of. It's still there.
Yeah,
and everything else is gone.
So you can only look at that stuff glistening on the shelves for so long before you're like, ah.
You're like, it tastes like childhood. And I could use, you know, I could use a little feel good moment right now.
You introduced me to one from last time.
Yeah, man.
That I had never even heard of, which was a Little Debbie
Nutty Buddy.
Nutty Buddy.
Yeah, we were at Target and most of the snacks were pretty wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And
because I usually only snack on like seaweed.
Yeah, definitely.
And that wasn't there.
They didn't have any seaweed, so we bought Nutty Buddies,
which were, I believe, displayed on the corner like it was a hot item.
Yeah,
like a corner of the aisle.
It's crazy that all the Little Debbie stuff was there, and I was like, I gotta get some fucking Nutty Buddies, and I couldn't believe you've never had one.
No, is it spelled Nutty Buddy or Nutty Buddy?
I think it's Nutty Buddy.
Okay.
But you can go look at the box. It's right over there.
No, because if I go look at it, I'm going to eat them.
Yeah. No,
it's like that.
You taste a Nutty Buddy, and it's like you can never resist a Nutty Buddy again.
Can I get into the specifics of why it's so good?
Yeah, man.
I thought it was going to be like kind of a crappy, but still like good because it was sweet kind of thing.
I wouldn't even tell you what it was, remember? You were like, what is it?
Didn't.
And I was like, you gotta taste it, man.
Well, it's like a wafer cookie covered in chocolate, but a very thin layer of chocolate, which I like.
Yeah.
And it's wafer sandwich kind of form. And then it's
like paper thin layers.
Paper thin. I mean, whoever's baking these things is a
fucking magician, man.
I mean, Little Debbie.
Little paper thin layers of the most delicious processed peanut butter.
It's like
in between each wafer. And
yeah.
It's just a perfect bite.
It's like a little bit creamy, but it's not too much. It's not overpowering with the peanut butter. It's just, it melts in your mouth. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I remember stealing so much change out of the little change thing.
And what was your parents' change thing?
Remember I told you my dad had a little red Mercury Capri.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody remembers what that is, because I'm pretty sure those haven't been a thing for a very long time.
Hot car.
Yeah.
Often mistaken for a Ferrari.
Yeah, definitely. That was always a problem. No, actually, definitely not. They were like super cheap, or maybe not super cheap. I really don't know.
I don't either.
But they were just like easily attainable sports cars, I guess.
I'm definitely looking this up.
I remember my dad just pulled up one day in the driveway and we were like, who the fuck is that guy?
And he was like, that's right. You don't know me.
And he like had on his neon scrubs. I remember like his neon scrubs had like geckos all over them. Like he hopped out of this thing and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I guess that's the beginning of him like having some kind of midlife thing. I don't know. That's another podcast for another day.
Wait, I have a question. Sorry. Okay,
I definitely stole the change out of his. It had one of those little like bouncy coin things, you know, like a little coil.
Yeah.
I don't know what the word is for that.
Well, it's got like a quarter or a dime and a nickel slot.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember, dispenser. I was like, the cool thing about those is you never know how much change is in them until you hit the limit of what you can put in there. So I was like, I'm going to slide a few quarters out of this bitch and he will never know. So I was constantly embezzling money from my nutty buddy
smuggling.
Empire. Yeah.
Did you, the fear in your heart, if you had popped out that last quarter and seen that plastic bottom, where you're like, I bottomed it out.
I think I probably just would have been like, I don't know. I was never like a great liar. Mm-hmm. So I had three sisters, so we blamed everything on each other.
I mean, who knows?
I would have been like, it was definitely one of those other thieving ass bitches. I would never do you dirty like that, Dad.
I saw KK has some earrings.
I don't even give a fuck about Nutty Buddies, actually.
Where do you think Meredith got those shoes? Anyway, yeah, so you would spend them on Nutty Buddies.
Yeah, man.
And I'm trying to remember what our change dish was.
I can't believe they just like sold us Nutty Buddies at my cafeteria when I was like 7 or 8 years old. It's like,
wait, at school?
Yeah. It's like, don't you feel like kids should be like carded somehow for just endlessly buying carbs, like with nobody being like, hey, you should probably like throw a little balance in there, maybe like a piece of fruit or something. But there were days where I almost never bought my lunch, but there were days where if I did buy my lunch, I was like, well, I'm just gonna get like two Nutty Buddies and a bag of chips, and nobody fucking stopped me. Isn't that crazy?
How old?
When I was in like second grade. I think second grade was when I got the nuts to like fully skip the lunch line and just go to the a la carte section. And I was like, that'll be two Nutty Buddies and a bag of Cheetos.
You're like, I already got my healthy food. Yeah. It's over there.
And I'm going to drink a Gatorade, which I'm pretty sure offsets all the negative things I'm doing nutritionally. Yeah.
I can't believe, I'm kind of blown away that you were able to buy things by choice in second grade. We didn't not have that. It was like, this is your slop.
We had like the lunch line and it was, you know, chicken fried steak like every day. Who knows what was actually in that? And then like scoops of mystery coleslaw stuff.
Yeah.
But there was like a weird little like broom closet that they turned into like an a la carte snack thing. They called it the a la carte station, which looking back is pretty ridiculous. A la carte But I was like, catch me at the a la carte closet buying Nutty Buddies.
Yeah.
With my dad's loose change.
We couldn't buy stuff until high school like that. Then we had like Tasty Cakes and stuff like that I would.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Tasty Cakes, that's kind of a regional thing.
That
right?
is a Philadelphia product.
Yeah.
It's Hostess, but from Philly.
Yeah.
And they're probably not better, but I can't taste that they're not better because
I know you think they're better. You really do.
Honestly,
every time we're at a Wawa, you like wipe the shelf clean when you see that Tasty Cakes display.
Well, they have something called a peanut butter. Oh, this is a good childhood food. They have peanut butter candy cakes, which the candy is misleading. There's no candy about it.
Yeah.
It's a like a cupcake, a cake interior. I don't know.
A cake interior.
Cake interior.
Okay.
Kind of like a capri had okay. a cake interior. but the... It's a cake interior dipped in chocolate, and then there's a thin layer of peanut butter inside. And it, I haven't seen anyone else make anything like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, Tasty Cake is pretty standard. I understand. Entenmann's is like next level.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Isn't Entenmann's like the fancy one?
Hmm.
Like it goes Hostess and then Entenmann's?
I don't know. I think I've always been partial to the Little Debbie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But. That's all stuff that was totally forbidden in my... I guess I should have said that before I talked about my Nutty Buddy habit. We were not allowed to eat that shit at my house.
Right.
If my mom smelled Nutty Buddy on me, I would have been doing hard time in timeout.
You're like gargling mouthwash in second grade.
I was like trying to kill the smell of Nutty Buddy on my breath.
You're, like, spraying yourself with your dad's cologne before it's walking crazy. In the house.
I was more brazen about my weed smoking when I was a teenager. I was like, whatever, what are you going to do to me? But when I was eating carbs that my mom didn't know about, mm-hmm. I was like, spray me down. Does anybody have, like, a dryer sheet in the trunk of their car that I could just do a quick once over with? Like, I was so, like, you know, I was a secret eater.
And you had to act grumpier than you were because you were supposed to not have carbs.
My blood sugar's so low.
Meanwhile, you're glowing inside.
Yeah.
So Nutty Buddy, that's a good one. So thank you for that. I forgot we had them in the pantry. I'm definitely eating one after this.
The danger zone.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Fruity Pebbles was one we had in common.
Ooh, man. When you told me that you understood Fruity Pebbles the way I understood Fruity Pebbles,
it was stress food.
I connected with you on that so hard because I was like, it's special.
Yeah.
It's not like the other kid cereals.
It was like a flavor I needed to taste when I felt like my teenage world was crashing down on me.
Same. Like 14 through 17, I would eat like 3 bowls of Fruity Pebbles before I knew what stress eating was.
I didn't do 3 bowls. I don't think that I could have handled that much lactose with the
milk.
Well,
neither could I.
But my family was also, we were like early adopters of nut milk. We were drinking soy milk when my friends were like, what the fuck is this shit in your fridge?
In the 90s in Texas.
Yeah, man.
Progressive.
Yeah, I wish I could say that my parents were forward thinking in all ways.
Mostly just milks.
But mostly just with the nut milks.
The texture and the way Fruity Pebbles turns into like the chewed
this
version,
rainbow mush.
It's like, I just can't. It's such a pleasurable experience. It's unreal.
I know.
When we gave it to the girls, I was like watching their faces to see if they got it.
Yeah. I couldn't. I didn't even like taste it because I was like, I can't do that to myself. I also can't do it to them because I would eat the whole fucking bag and they'd be like, I thought you said you got us this new cool cereal that you remembered from when you were a kid. And then I'd be like, well, I cried into the whole bag of it last night.
Should we talk about the alternative name for it? That.
What does Lulu call it?
Crunchy fruit. You told her it was called Fruity Pebbles, and she was like, nah, I'm not doing that.
She's like, I don't like that name. It's Crunchy Fruit. And I was like, that's so weird, but okay.
And then the milk would taste so good. So, yeah, that was probably that cereal. And then do you have another cereal?
I liked Life a lot.
Me too.
Yeah. I loved Life.
Cinnamon Life.
Cinnamon Life, it was like... I didn't like the cinnamon milk.
Mm.
I wasn't into that. Okay. I really was like just enough milk to moisten the cereal. Oh. I know.
Can
it's
you
gross.
Say that again a different way?
I just like to wet my cereal just ever so slightly. I don't know. Something about that like just grossed me out. So I wasn't into that. I liked regular Life.
Life really is also extremely satisfying. It's like a very meaty cereal. It's very like
You gotta like chew. You gotta work for it.
It's full bodied.
Yeah.
So I love
you
Life.
Told me about something a cereal that you liked that I have never heard of.
Oh, I didn't even know you were going to allow me to talk about
Might
this cereal.
As well.
Just Right. Kellogg's Just Right.
I was going to say, wasn't it called All Right? No.
All Right? What kind of dumb name for a cereal is that? Just Right.
Just Right.
I think, so in, I remember now that it was like, the reason we had it in my house was because it was considered healthy. It was like a healthy cereal.
But now we know that that was all
absolutely
a lie.
Not yeah. healthy. But I think Just Right referred to that it was like just enough
yeah.
of the good stuff
They're like,
and
there's
none of the bad.
Just enough fiber in here to make you poop maybe
Perfectly.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe once today. But pretty much there's enough sugar to prevent anything else good from happening.
Yes. That was when they were still fully getting away with hiding sugar
yeah.
and everything,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. But I looked it up just now. First time I've ever Googled a cereal because I'm not the most boring person in the world. And it's a collector's item. I was right that it was the box is a collector's item. There's
Which
a 19
is so fucking weird, man.
A perfect condition on eBay, 1995 Just Right box is $14, which isn't that much of a collector's item, but it's
That's
like
so sad.
It is, yeah. But anyway, I loved that one. That was a good one. It turns out cereal itself is just like so comforting.
Yeah, but when you Googled it and you showed it to me, I was like, this looks like the kind of stuff that they serve at like in little Dixie cups at like bingo time as like a dry treat
is,
for all of the old folks.
It is a very old. Speaking of which, the only other cereal we had was Grape Nuts, which
oh,
is like the old people.
Oh. I'm so sad for
I know.
You.
Well, why do you think I thought Just Right was like this amazing dessert cereal? Because
yeah.
the other option was Grape Nuts.
That's so weird. Well, it's okay. I thought chocolate soy milk was like a real fucking treat whenever I was a kid. And now I think if I smelled chocolate soy milk, I would just absolutely, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's not good.
No?
No. Another one that we had in common... Nutri-Grain bars.
Now that's exactly.
Fuck a Nutri-Grain
it's
bar.
It's very diff, but this
Fuck
is a very different.
A Nutri-Grain bar.
We both have very emotional experiences with Nutri-Grain bars.
Well,
and
mine wasn't emotional. Mine was pretty void of emotion. My mom would put a paper plate out on the out on the kitchen counter with a Nutri-Grain bar on top of it, and that was my breakfast.
Help me with the visual. White paper plate or like a patterned paper plate?
Oh no, it was a white paper plate on like our pink tiled counter. And I was like, fuck my life. I hate these. I tell this woman like all the time that I hate these Nutri-Grain bars. And she still sets them out every fucking day on a paper plate.
Did she open them or just leave them in the
no,
wrapper?
No, it was just sitting there.
In the
in
wrapper?
In the wrapper, yeah.
Ugh.
Because I think she knew that I was like, does anybody want a Nutri-Grain bar? Because I'm not going to eat this.
I would eat them if I... That was when I got old enough in high school where I couldn't wake up in time to go to get... I was always late.
Yeah.
And then running late. So I would just eat Nutri-Grain bars. And I just remember it just... I associate it with not having my homework done, being exhausted, and then being hungry in like, let's be honest, 20 minutes. They do nothing.
Yeah.
So that flavor, which is very specific to just the Kellogg Nutri-Grain bar. There's so many cereal bars.
I know.
Now,
there's a million rip-off bars, but only the Nutri-Grain bars truly taste like strawberry vomit.
Yeah. They really.
There's just this barf. I don't know.
Like and
even when our kids eat the like Trader Joe's kind, I'm like.
Yeah.
Like it makes me kind of want to gag that they're like, I love this. I'm like, ew. I don't know how much you'd love it if I was serving it to you on a paper plate.
And I wasn't around.
Yeah.
That's all that was there in the morning. Yeah, so that's a more stressful, sadder one. But the other cereals were happy.
Yeah. Do you have any weird DIY snacks you were making as a kid?
What would I make for myself? Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a customization. What am I trying to think of? It's my own version of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that
okay.
I would make. And it's not that exciting. It was just triple decker. So I would do...
I was waiting for some secret ingredient. I was like, does he add cinnamon to the peanut butter? Does he heat it up? But no, it's
no,
just
it was just more
piece
of it.
Of bread.
Just more. So it was like a Big Mac peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Wow.
But
that's so on brand for you.
I would salivate so hard being excited for it that I could barely finish making it because I wanted to eat it so bad. I remember like I couldn't even wait to finish making it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Peanut butter and jelly, man. Nothing can beat it in terms of like comfort food. I don't know. I don't think anything can beat it.
Peanut butter and jelly. Ugh, man, some extra crunchy peanut butter.
I'm genuinely curious. How many do you think you could eat before you get sick of it?
Oh, I don't know. You and I are not built the same there. I mean, I love to eat, but I can't do that whole like eat it till I feel sick.
Oh,
thing.
No, I don't mean all at once.
Oh,
I don't mean that.
You mean like in my life.
Yeah. Like if you had to eat one every day, could you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, definitely. I eat Lulu's crust pretty much every day.
My parents used to get so mad that I wouldn't eat the crust. And I'm like, why didn't they just eat my crust?
I know. When she's like, I don't want the crust. I'm like, great. I fucking love the crust.
Mama tax.
Leave it.
So those are the breakfast foods. Do you have any other? I mean, pancakes for me were luxury.
My grandpa used to make us pancakes when we would be with my grandparents. I remember he would always make us like, I was like, wow, this guy wakes up at the butt crack of dawn. And he would always make us the most elaborate breakfasts. And I was like, I just like couldn't handle it. I was like, I smell bacon. I smell, you know, I never really liked the smell of bacon, but all of it together, I was like, you know, there's eggs going. I can, the toast and the butter. And
even just butter in a pan is like heaven.
I was like, oh my God, he's doing it all. This is amazing. And I loved that. And when he didn't wake up early to do that, I mean, he always woke up early because doesn't everybody's grandpa wake up at like 5 a.m. to read the newspaper?
Oh, you're
or something.
Slept in till 5?
Yeah. I know. He was always sitting there, like, just sitting there in his chair with his clothes on and his glasses on, just like reading.
Wow.
And it would be like still dark outside. And I was like, I guess, like, did you ever go to sleep? Like, what are you doing? But we also used to go, he loved, you know, like Southern food, like Texas ass, like middle of nowhere. I'm talking at our little lake house in Lake Livingston. There was this place called Kimone's, and it was like, I don't know, I guess kind of like a Southern diner. And it was just like biscuits and gravy. Everything was like gravy, 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 butter, you know. It was just like nuts.
Butter, gravy, gravy, butter,
yeah.
Gravy. Yeah.
And I would go there with him and he was like, order whatever you want. And I was like, fuck yeah, not a Nutri-Grain bar in sight. So, yeah, I do still love breakfast. I think breakfast is like my favorite thing.
I think me too. And I didn't mean to insinuate or imply that we had pancakes a lot. We never had pancakes. But that's, I think, why I associate maple syrup with such a big flavor for me that brings me back, because it's such a special occasion flavor.
Like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't love a lot of syrup.
Yeah.
I'm not a sauce guy. You're a sauce guy.
I get what you're calling syrup sauce.
I mean,
it is essentially
it is sauce.
Breakfast sauce.
You love to like just submerge your food in sauce.
I like a wet food.
And I'm not like a wet food person. You know, I like a couple of drips or maybe a dip here or there, but I don't like it poured all over.
When you see the words wet burrito on a restaurant menu, does that get your heart ticking a little faster?
I know for you, you're like, there is no other option, only the wet one, the wet burrito, sir.
Why do they have other burritos?
Give me the wettest burrito on your menu. No, I'm like, oh no, it's going to be like so soggy and saucy. And I just want like a little cup of it to like dip it in, but I don't want the whole thing swimming in sauce.
I think this requires an online poll.
I know. Well, I'm not a sauce guy. You're a sauce guy. We can find out you know.
Wet food, dry food.
Wet food, bowl. Dry food. Who's a sauce guy? Who's not a sauce guy?
Yeah.
Anyway, the other gross thing, this is the last thing. We used to make microwave nachos.
That sounds like it wouldn't work because don't microwaves make chips soft?
Yeah. But that's part of the recipe.
Okay. So tell me how you make microwave nachos.
Well, you get a handful of usually stale chips.
Okay.
You know, some shredded cheese, ultra so processed. Real cheese. Yeah. Maybe Velveeta if you were lucky. Mm-hmm. And I say that now looking back. I'm like, wow. But Velveeta was the shit when I was a little kid. I was like, I don't understand why my mom won't buy this stuff. All of my friends have it and their moms just like pop a giant brick of Velveeta in the microwave with the thing of Rotel. And it was like, here's queso.
Wow.
And I thought it was magic. Yeah. I thought it was sorcery. I was like, why wouldn't my mom just buy these two things to make this perfect queso? And, you know, it turns out she wanted me to have a shot at, like, maybe living a little bit longer or something. Man. I don't know. But anyway, I thought Velveeta was awesome. I only ever ate it, like, in secret or at my friends' houses. But every once in a while, I could con my mom into getting, like, a small thing of Velveeta. So we would put all this shit on these chips on a paper plate. We always used paper plates. My mother will listen to this, and I'll get an angry text denying this, but bitch, I'm the one with the microphone. We always ate on paper plates.
It'd be a weird thing to make up.
Yeah, we always ate on paper plates. I don't know. It was just like a thing at my house. We always did. The flimsy ones, the shitty ones, not the nice ones. We always ate on paper plates.
Can I connect with you on this Velveeta thing for a second?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how when you're a kid, what you perceive as the fancy one is always the garbage one?
Yeah.
Velveeta to me was like rich people had Velveeta. Like Velveeta sounds like it's fancy.
Velveeta.
Like, Velveeta. It's like, ooh, that's what they serve at the Ritz-Carlton. Velveeta. It's like such a luxurious
name.
I'm like
going to name my first child Velveeta.
I remember seeing it on TV and being like, maybe one day I'll try that. If everything goes right.
I thought it was the best tasting thing ever. I was like, why don't we dip everything in Velveeta? It's so good.
Is it good now? Like, is it good?
I don't even remember really what it tastes like. I don't think it's really actually cheese, because don't they sell it in the grocery store in, like, the non-refrigerated aisle?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit troubling to me. And it's, like, sealed in this weird foil thing.
Oh, it's like the liquid. Yeah, it's like that thick liquid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, it's not real because that's why they have to come up with names like Velveeta. Mm-hmm. You know? Okay. So it's Velveeta on, or no, cheddar on.
Yes. It's like
stale chips.
This cheese dumped on stale chips with, like, maybe some jalapenos, because I was in Texas and that was like pickles when I was a kid, and like olives and like whatever weird stuff, whatever, like meatless things, or there are always veggie burgers in our house. Mm-hmm. Which I'm now grateful for, because it tastes normal to me.
You had nut milks and veggie burgers in the 90s
in my Republican mother's fridge. Who knew?
Wow.
But yeah, we used to make these disgusting plates of microwave, and it was like the chips and the cheese and the plate were all sort of becoming one in the microwave.
And wait.
I can't tell you how many paper plates I probably ate.
You cooked them on the paper plates?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that feels like it wouldn't sustain.
I just said I must have ingested thousands of paper plates in the 90s.
Fiber, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. But I was like, I'm not sacrificing a bite of my nachos that I definitely made in secret. My sisters and I would make them in secret. Our microwave was so goddamn loud. And so we knew that if we popped the handle right at like 1 or 2 seconds, that it wouldn't be like, meh!
Oh, that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you meant like the whirring.
Yeah, no, it wasn't super loud, but the alarm. So we were like watching out for each other as we were making secret shitty microwave nachos.
there's an undercurrent of sadness there, but also really cute to think of these girls.
Camaraderie,
like,
man.
Yeah, it's like Ocean's 11 to make after school snack.
To make an almost inedible plate of shitty food on a paper plate. Anyways, for our food portion, I feel like we pretty much covered our bases.
Yeah,
there.
I'll just tell. I can tell one super quick little after, because nachos was an after school thing or like a weekend thing that you would do.
Right.
Okay. So I was always starving after school. I don't know why. Usually because I forgot my lunch money. I would come home and I was a latchkey kid, so it was me and Par, and she would just refuse to make me anything. She just wouldn't do it. She'd just go in her room and tape more songs off the radio or whatever. So one day I just couldn't take it anymore. And I wanted her to get in trouble more than I wanted to eat. So I went into the pantry.
That's some youngest child shit right
it
there.
It is. I went into the pantry, opened a Chef Boyardee can of something, whatever it was, dumped it on in a bowl. Mm-hmm. So it was just cold and like kind of in the form
in
of the can.
In the shape of a can?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I sat there with a fork and didn't, because my sister wouldn't heat it up. So I wanted my mom to know that my sister wouldn't heat it up for me. So I just sat there until my parents got home with this cold Chef Boyardee, waiting for them to come home and be like, "What are you doing?" And I'd be like, "I don't know. Par wouldn't heat it up."
Wow, you haven't changed a bit.
It worked. She got super yelled at. My mom was like, "You poor thing. You must be so hungry." All right. That's it for our food portion.
Yes. And we were going to talk about some movies.
We need comfort movies.
Yeah. I can't believe that my kid liked this. And I definitely had to be like, la, 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 through certain parts. Uh-huh. But Lulu loved Wayne's World.
I was blown away that you were watching Wayne's World. I walked in on it midway, and she was, like, laughing. And I was like, none of these jokes are for her.
Yeah, she loved it. And she was like, I think for Halloween, I want to be half Wayne, half Garth.
Well, she said half Garf, which is even
Garf.
Better.
And I was like, that's great. I love it. And now sometimes she'll put her glasses on and she'll mess up her hair and she'd be like, "Who am I?" And she'll suck her lips in and stick out her tongue. And I'm like, "Oh my God, you're Garf." She's like, "You're right. I'm Garf."
God, that would be a killer costume.
It would be real good.
I've never seen a half and half.
Yeah.
Somebody must have done it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. Well, she loves that movie and I hadn't watched it in forever. And if you have kids, it's pretty safe to show them.
Mostly just silly.
Yeah, it's mostly silly. They don't really say anything that's that much worse than what is being said in the fucking Disney shows that kids watch these days.
I know.
Where the kids are like, "God, Mom, you're such a bitch."
Yeah. Do I have to do everything? It's funny. It's actually funny that it's... everybody loves Wayne's World, and it's a nostalgic movie for a lot of people, and it holds up, and it's great. But I have a really soft, really big soft spot for Wayne's World because I'm so old. I remember the first time Wayne's World came on SNL. Like, I would fight to stay awake. It was Saturday night. It was the only time I was allowed to stay up late. We would watch SNL, and I would pray for Wayne's World. And it was the only thing our whole family enjoyed. Like, everything else was like, my dad would laugh or my mom. Wayne's World, we all loved.
Yeah.
And I just, the being so, I can feel right now, I was like 9. And I remember my eyes closing and I was trying. Do you remember being a kid trying to stay awake?
Oh my God, I still know that feeling.
It's painful.
Anytime you put a movie on after like 10 p.m., I'm like, I'm watching it. I'm definitely awake.
You're like, what is this? I'm like, Schindler's List. It's short. So anyway, just my eyes would pop right over. Like, yeah, it was like such a celebration when Wayne's World would come on. And, and then the movie was great.
Man, I loved Wayne's World. I also just saw, have not watched it recently, but I just saw Sandlot is on Stars.
Yes.
And I'm definitely going to have to watch that one.
Yeah.
I loved that movie.
It's such a great movie.
Yeah.
It's really great.
It's so quotable. I feel like people quote it so much and they don't even remember that the lines are from Sandlot.
Yeah.
I'm constantly saying stuff like, "You're killing me, Smalls." I'm not even thinking that it's from Sandlot, but it's just like, it's such a good movie.
I love those movies because I don't remember. I feel like I could be totally wrong about this, but in my emotional truth, The Sandlot was not like a big movie in the theaters, but maybe it was. But I feel like there's a lot of those movies that just like lived on video and every kid has seen them and everybody loves them, but they're not, they weren't like a big deal to anyone else, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that things were so different then. Media was so different and the way that we consumed it. It's like, and like you said, when you're a kid, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. Like you have no idea what is a huge hit and what totally sucks.
Yeah.
Or nobody ended up seeing.
You either like it or you don't like it.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing about The Sandlot, because there's a little dynamic in there that's you don't see in a lot of movies, which is the worship of a friend who's like so cool.
Oh yeah.
Because they all looked up to the one guy, I forget his name, but it was like the handsome kid that was like really fast.
I know the guy, the kid with the PF Flyers. Mm-hmm. I forget his name.
And that feeling, that is why as a child I was like, I love this movie, because it understands what it feels like to be a kid. And there's always that kid. Justin McGovern was mine. That's a real person.
Yeah.
Who could do everything. He was fast. He could throw. I mean, you know what I mean? So like that movie is about that feeling, and it's a real thing. It's a really nice thing.
That's nice. Yeah. I don't think girls are like that. Maybe they are. And that might be a generalization. Maybe girls just weren't like that. Mm-hmm. Or I was just too much of a nerd.
Well, you didn't look up to girls your age and be like, oh, that's the girl that I worship.
No, I don't think so. I
that's because you were that girl.
No, I absolutely wasn't. I really wasn't. But I don't remember aspiring to be like anyone in my grade. I remember thinking like my babysitters were really cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's close enough.
Yeah, but I don't remember thinking like girls my age, like I want to be them.
Right.
But
Sandlot's a great one.
Sandlot's so good. I just made you watch the trailer for Wish Upon a Star.
I had never even heard of that movie.
It's from 1996. It's
probably
the first thing Katherine Heigl ever did. Mm-hmm. But also around the time that she made My Father the Hero, which is also not a movie. It's just not a movie that holds up. It's fucking weird. Mm-hmm. She like convinces everybody that her dad, Gerard Depardieu, is her boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
What does she win? Like, why is she doing
this? She's doing it to, like, make a guy jealous.
Oh, my God. That is so weird.
I know. And whenever I was younger, I was like, this movie rules. I don't think I could even get through it now.
I miss not being a critical thinker when I was a kid. I just loved it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just like, this is great.
I was like, everybody thinks her dad's cool, so she wants to pretend that's her boyfriend. Good for her. I never thought, what would I do if somebody thought my dad was my boyfriend? And like I can't. Who thought of that?
The answer wasn't milk it.
Yeah. Gross. But anyway,
Wish Upon a Star.
Wish Upon a Star is like the classic body switch, like... The nerdy little sister wants to switch places with her hot older sister. And around the time this movie came out, I was a nerd without a hot older sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, why don't I have like a cool big sister to like help me figure out how to not be a nerd?
Oh, yeah.
So I loved movies like this because I would totally fantasize about having... like a big sister, big brother.
Oh, yeah.
To like, you know, she's all that me and mm-hmm. make me less desperate and nerdy.
That was and that came out. I didn't even hear of that one because that was in the boom of the body switch.
Oh, my God. There's so many,
the 90s.
So many body switching movies.
There was one with Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage. That was one. I forget what that one was called. But that's, I think he switches with his stepdad. It's just crazy.
Oh, my God.
There were so many.
The dynamics, the weird family stuff.
13 going on 30 is one, right?
Yeah, 13 going on 30. But that was later. That was like early 2000s. This was 96, around the time Parent Trap came out,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, was not the original. But, I mean... it was like the last great acting that Lindsay Lohan did.
Mm.
Just kidding. I love Mean Girls. Yeah. I love Mean Girls.
Splash. You threw Splash on.
Yeah. Lulu mostly was into it. There were a few. I didn't remember that she was like so horned up.
Yeah.
Like having to sort of fast forward and like, you know, I'll just like start coughing really loud when they start saying super sexual things. And if there's no end in the sight for me with the fake coughing, I'm like, okay, I guess we gotta like fast forward or something. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't prepared to edit this much on the fly, but yeah, she's like, you know, she's a mermaid and she comes back to life and she has like such a lady boner for Tom Hanks, just like everybody.
Well,
did.
There's no Tom Hanks in the ocean.
Yeah.
So.
But oh my God, she's like, I have 6 days to bone your brains out. And that's all I want to do. I just want.
And you're like, Lulu, let's watch this movie.
Yeah. And I was like, Lulu, I loved this movie when I was a kid. And she was like, great. Mermaids, sign me up.
I just loved how,
but it was on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. And you guys are gonna think that I'm like rich with all these streaming things. No, I just have all of my family's passwords.
With all our little Debbie Velveeta talk, yeah. You're probably like,
you probably think I'm just like backstroking into dollar bills, but I'm absolutely not. My sister KK, thanks for the Disney Plus password.
KK,
hey,
and Aunt Howie,
yeah, and they like edited Daryl Hannah's butt out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they put like CGI hair. Like they made her hair look longer and they covered up her butt. Cuz I was like, "Did I just see that?" And then I googled it and everybody online was like, "Are you watching Splash? Did you see that weird thing they did to Daryl Hannah's butt?" So it's like it's a real thing.
More like Disney minus Daryl Hannah's butt.
So I'm like, "You guys edited out Daryl Hannah's butt. Just her butt cheeks." Like, no bush or anything crazy. Just her butt cheeks. You edited that out, but you kept in all the stuff where they talk about, like, boinking nonstop. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, dry humping Tom Hanks in every scene. Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
I want to say that it holds up. The jokes are great.
Yeah.
It's really fun. John Candy's in it, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
As Tom Hanks' brother.
Mm-hmm.
So what a beautiful world where Tom Hanks and John Candy are brothers.
I know. I love mean, it.
Who are those parents? And then the I don't know. Is there another comfort movie that we should let people know is out there streaming right now?
Well, Miss Doubtfire.
Yeah. I never saw it when I was supposed to.
Yeah.
And then I watched it the other day. It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty transphobic. It does not hold up in a lot of ways.
Yeah. You kind of going into it, it didn't occur to me that it might have that problem.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh yeah, this was before people knew better.
Yeah. And poof. I mean, when you watch it and you're like, wow, all of this stuff got greenlit. It's kind of crazy. But I don't know. It's sad because I remember it so much from my childhood, but I'm like, wow, there's a lot of like really awful stuff in this movie. Like really just not cool. And it's in San Francisco. It's like, be a little more open-minded, you guys.
Yeah.
But they're like, dude looks like a lady. Luck be a lady tonight. Walk like a man. Like
all the songs.
It's just kind of like, wow. But it was, you know, Robin Williams is amazing. Like,
he's so good.
The voices he does throughout the movie are probably the best part.
You know what always gets me about Robin Williams, and I love Robin Williams, is when I watch his movies now, everybody remembers the voices. And,
right.
And they were great, and they were really funny, and even the genie in Aladdin is hilarious, and you know what I mean? He's obviously
it's better
funny.
Than that live-action bullshit that we've had to watch like a thousand times.
We don't have time. But what I love about Robin is you watch his movies, he was really giving it everything he had in all the dramatic moments. I mean,
yeah.
He really was a believable man.
I mean, Good Will Hunting, the dude had chops.
Oh yeah, that was like, oh, and Dead Poets Society. I mean, yeah. He was the real deal.
Yeah.
But he could also do Bullwinkle or whatever. that's Uncle Joey, but you know, whatever. But yeah, just Miss Doubtfire, I would say holds up enough to watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah, you just got to watch it with the awareness that there's not the sensitivity there that exist now.
Yeah. And the part...
And we actually talked to Rhea about that when mm-hmm. they were on our podcast talking about Back to the Future
mm-hmm.
and the importance of not canceling things, but appreciating how much we've grown and just moving forward respectfully.
Sure. I mean, if you get rid of it all, you forget the progress.
You got nothing. Yeah.
Or you forget the progress.
Exactly. And you have no way to measure how far people have come. So... it's good.
Last thing I'll say about Miss Doubtfire is when he catches fire in the kitchen, I was like, this is just giving me anxiety. Like, I don't know if it was supposed to be funny or what.
When the fake titties are like...
Yeah. And yeah. I think it was like in the trailer, like they were really proud of that scene.
Yeah.
They were like, this is going to get people in the theaters. And I'm just like so freaked out by it. So, but you know.
Yeah, no, I know that every time I'm cooking over a stove, I'm like, what will I do if I set my titties on fire?
You know what? If it saved just one pair of titties, it was all worth it.
It was worth it. Yeah.
Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed our discussing our comfort foods.
And movies. And if you have any comfort foods or movies that you... would like to recommend, or maybe there are some like nostalgic snacks that we
post them in your stories or whatever and add us on them so we can take a look at them.
Tag us.
Sorry.
Ay-yay-yay.
I mean, I saw the first Wayne's World sketch, so
yeah, I really quickly wanted to name there are a couple of people said they wanted to hear us talk about sweets and treats and snacks. A lot of people wanted to hear us talk about Tiger King, but that is not nostalgic.
No, it's not. That is current level post-apocalyptic.
Anyway, terrifying. There was a long list of requests, and I kind of forgot about that until just now, so we'll hit it on the next one.
No problem. And I just want to shout out one of the co-writers of Miss Doubtfire, Randy Mayhem Singer, who is very active on Twitter now and so funny and extremely anti-Trump in a very funny way. So she's a great follow if you want to follow the writer of Mrs. Doubtfire. She Randy Mayhem Singer, check her out. She's really great.
Nice. All right.
Thanks so much for listening.
Happy quarantining.
We'll be back. Who knows what time it is.
Stay inside your goddamn house. and don't touch anybody. And wear a mask. And
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
We'll just say see you next time.
And if you go jogging, get the fuck out of the way if you see people walking down the sidewalk. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. We love you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.